Hi, my name is Devin Ripner. I'm here to talk about the inhibition of soil respiration by copper compounds in wild and agricultural systems. So, pretty broad. I don't think I need to go into too much detail. A lot of other people have. So, the broad application and widespread adoption of nanotechnology is changing how and where metals flow into the environment. Now, most of my research has focused on metal oxide nanoparticles, and these are a number of TEM images that I've taken in the past, and you can see there's a wide variety of surface morphologies, and the characteristics of various nanoparticles differ widely. Some of them are supermagnetic, others are amazing oxidizers, others are great for thermal transfer, but primarily I focus on copper oxide. And as an earlier presenter talked about, we're tending to switch away from toxicology studies and now looking at kind of how nanoparticles might impact plant growth or microbial communities in soils. We're starting to look at less pure systems. And so in ag systems, copper is frequently applied as a fungicide. And in California, there's about 2 million acres of land that receives copper application a year. And something like 70,000 acres that are actually receiving copper oxide applications. So that's a very large land area. And to date, very few studies have actually focused on real soils, right? So sands are amazing. They're great for studying. They're simple systems. But we wanted to look at how natural soils across a carbon gradient might be impacted by copper applications. And so what we did is we applied copper oxide nanoparticles, bulk copper oxide so we could control for the size, and then also copper chloride so we could control for the ion effects. And so our hypotheses are that soil respiration, as measured by CO2C emission from soils, will be inhibited by high copper exposure and will be greatest after exposure to the copper salts. And that we believe that for particle size, that soil respiration will decrease as particle size decreases. We expect there to be greater dissolution from smaller particles than larger particles. And finally, we hypothesize that increasing soil organic carbon will induce greater changes in the magnitude of copper availability over time for all copper compounds. So we figured that soil organic matter would sequester a lot of the copper, making the soils more resistant to the impacts of copper application. And so here you can see our three sizes of copper oxide particles that we applied. So we had a bulk copper oxide, which was a mean of 480 nanometers. And then we had a 41 nanometer copper oxide particles, and then 16 nanometer copper oxide particles. And we felt like this would give us a nice size range to evaluate the size effects of our copper oxide compounds. Now, for our soils. So luckily at UC Davis, we have a place called Russell Ranch. And one of the beauty, or a great part about this facility is that there are two soil types there, and they are very similar. And so there is a Rincon silty clay loam and a Yolo loam soil. The main difference is just in the clay content, and it's less than 5%. Otherwise, they are very similar. And in order to get our carbon gradient, we sampled from a variety of places at Russell Ranch. And so we to get the lowest carbon, we went to completely unfertilized fields that are just cropped in a wheat fallow rotation. And then we moved through, we had conventional organic soils as well. And so the main difference is that the organic soils received compost and legume cover crop, and the conventional soils did not. And then we wanted to look at some wild systems that are nearby. So we sampled into the grasslands. And just to point this out, this is color-coded, so the pink is for the unfertilized, the orange is for the conventional, the blue is for the organic plots, and then we have the purple is the grassland, and the green is the forest land. And I'll talk a little bit more about the carbon contents of these different soils in a few moments. So we did a series of incubation experiments, and all of our treatments were done in triplicate. Our experiments were done at 70% of the water-holding capacity, and we really looked at three levels of copper. So the no-copper addition, 10 milligrams per liter, which would be about twice the annual buildup of copper in walnut orchards in California, and then 1,000 milligrams per kilogram, sorry. And that would be 1,000 milligrams per kilogram of soil is very high for copper. However, there are vineyards in Europe that have up to 3,000 milligrams per kilogram of copper. And when people apply copper fungicides, they usually do very low volumes. And so you'd expect the concentration to be something like 20,000 milligrams per liter. And so you could think that any drift, any drips, anything like that would create localized hot spots with very high concentrations of copper. And again, we had the three particle size classes for copper oxide, and then we used copper chloride for our aqueous copper control, and our soils were incubated at 28 degrees Celsius. We measured soil respiration on days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then for every 5 days for 70 days. And then we ran a number of assays. We looked at enzyme activity and microbial biomass, but as part of the enzyme activity assays, we wanted to measure water extractable copper at the same time. And we did that an hour after application and then 70 days after application. And this was just a DI water extraction. We vortexed. It was primarily for the enzyme activity assays, but you know, we wanted to get an idea of the copper in there. So we did the extraction, we vortexed them, and then analyzed them by ICP-MS. Okay, so a little bit more about the soil characterization data. We have a really nice carbon gradient. So we're going from 0.83% carbon to 2.5% carbon in the soil. So it's a nice carbon gradient. One interesting thing is generally the ammonium to nitrate ratio, there is less ammonium to nitrate than nitrate. However, it's inverted in the forest soil. So there's a lot more ammonium than nitrate. You know, I'm not drawing any conclusions from that. I just think it's interesting. So what we saw is that cumulative soil respiration over 70 days was really impacted by the management system. And it's really about how much carbon was in the system. And so these are the, just from our controls, we wanted to kind of evaluate the impact that the carbon gradient would have on CO2 emission. And what we found is that there's a nice linear correlation between carbon content and CO2 emission, which makes perfect sense. So it's nothing incredible, nothing earth-shattering, but it's still interesting. Throughout my presentation, from this point on, I will be having arrows over here on the right side, and this will just help you interpret the results of the graphs. And over here we have, for the next six slides, there will be soil respiration on the y-axis, and it's in milligrams of CO2C per kilogram of soil. So just as a heads up as we go along. Okay, so this is for the unfertilized plot. For the unfertilized plots, we looked at, again, the cumulative soil respiration coming off of these soils. And again, on the y-axis, soil respiration, milligrams of CO2C per kilogram of soil. And then on the x-axis here, and this will continue for a while, as the color intensifies, that indicates increasing concentration of copper in the system. And then we are going from small size to large size, and then the salt control over on the far right of the screen. And so what we see is that it does look like there is a size dependence to soil respiration to cumulative soil respiration in this system. So what we find is that the small nanoparticles have a larger impact on soil respiration than the larger particles. However, under no condition for any of these soils was that impact greater than when we added copper chloride to this system. Okay, so at the same concentration of copper, copper chloride was always had a greater impact on soil respiration than any of the particulate treatments. In the conventional system, very similar data. And just one other thing, this line is just to kind of guide your eye. This is based on the mean value from the controls, and just so that you can kind of compare the different treatments to that mean value. And again, so what we see is that the particle size has an impact, and that as particle size decreases, soil respiration also decreases. And we saw this for all of our agricultural systems, that generally, as particle size decreased, there was a greater inhibition in soil respiration. However, in the wild systems that we looked at, the results were very different. So what we found is that any copper addition negatively impacted soil respiration. So it didn't really matter what the form was. It was just you put copper in, you get a decrease in respiration. And we saw this in the forest soil as well. And it is fascinating. And Just one heads up. So sometimes we would see an increase as well in respiration. So there's a good example here with copper chloride where you get maybe a slight increase in respiration, and that could just be a fertility effect, either from low copper in the system or when copper is sorbing to the exchange complex, it will kick off other ions, right? So it could be that there's an increase in calcium and magnesium and other base cations that microbes are wanting to use, and that spurs increased respiration. So finally, and this is a complex figure, so here, this is the absolute value of the change in water extractable copper. And this is, I'm presenting it this way because Excel limited me. It would not let me make this graph negative. But the takeaway from this is that with increasing soil copper, there is no change in availability. Increasing soil organic carbon, there is no change in copper availability. So you just don't see any big differences. However, between the treatments, there is about an order of magnitude difference in the change in availability. And all this means is at the start of the experiment, copper chloride was super available. The copper from copper chloride was very available. And, you know, the availability decreased with size. But by the end of the experiment, after 70 days, the water extractable copper in these soils converged. And in fact, the nano treatments and the copper chloride treatment had very similar water extractable copper contents after 70 days, even though at the beginning of the experiment, it was many orders of magnitude different between the treatments. At no point did the bulk copper particles ever have as much copper in solution as any of the other treatments. And that could just be they're more stable, less surface to volume ratio, decreased dissolution. Those are all potential explanations. So, as a quick summary, so in these wild and agricultural systems, we saw very divergent responses in terms of soil respiration from copper addition. And in the ag systems, you know, soil respiration was inhibited the most with high additions of copper chloride. And we think it's because of the high availability of copper from adding copper chloride. But in the wild systems, they're a lot harder to generalize. And generally, they were most impaired by high copper chloride, but any copper addition inhibited soil respiration. And we saw that organic matter really didn't offer, soil organic matter did not offer protection, or did not, increasing soil organic matter did not protect the respiration from whatever negative response might be associated with copper additions. And finally, the soil organic carbon content had no impact on water extractability of copper. It really didn't. We thought that, you know, with higher organic matter, there'd be a lot more copper binding, but we didn't see that. And that could be because of dissolved organic carbon, right? So as soil carbon goes up, it could be that there's a lot more dissolved organic copper in the system, and that's chelating the metals. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the lab I work in. It's the Environmental Soil Chemistry Lab Group, led by Dr. Sanjay Parikh at UC Davis. And I'd like to thank the USDA NEFA Group for providing funding, the Soils and Biogeochemistry Group at UC Davis for providing funding, and the Donald G. Crosby Fellowship at UC Davis for providing funding.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Time for one question. Please, go ahead. So what's the mechanism for this new process? Whether it's due to the influence on the solar microorganisms or just the sterilization of carbon through the
Yeah, it's interesting. So we do, I didn't present it here, but we do have microbial biomass data. And generally the microbial biomass is decreasing with copper addition. I think the most interesting part is actually the change in the diversity of the microbial biomass. So we did the phospholipid fatty acid extraction on these, and we find that arbuscular mycorrhizae just get destroyed by copper additions. And it doesn't really matter the form. And see, we find community shifts that are occurring. Does that answer your question sufficiently? Great.
Finding has been reported in literature not only to microorganisms, also to
too.
Yeah.
I think this is because of the some kind of stimulating effect of cheese and microbiota. I think we may want to consider that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Go to our last speaker.